Tappers, what's up? How's everybody doing? It is Thursday, March 14th. Some could argue this is the start of the madness. So basketball nonstop today, 11 to 11. You have hoops all day. Marquette's in action. We'll talk a little bit about that later on in the show. Badgers get going tomorrow. I'm sure we'll have you covered for the weekend watch list. But yeah, it's a great time, man. This is really the nitty gritty of it all. I love conference tournament weekend. I think it can be at times better than March Madness. I know that's kind of sacrilegious to say, but these are the like 2 weeks of the year I always take off for March Madness. I'm off both Thursday and Friday, so I'll be with you, which is always exciting, right? But also, too, I would have, you know, if worlds are perfect, I'm home for these days as well. Because this is, like, as good as it gets. You can flip through all the different channels. Like, I would love to have an excuse to be home today or tomorrow, but I sadly do not. So, anyways, I'll still be, you know, keeping an eye on things, obviously, throwing a few shekels down here and there. But yeah, it's an exciting time, no doubt about it. We're going to talk about Ethan Happ. We're also going to talk a little bit about Marquette, Marcus Howard, and then finish off with the reaction to the Packer free agent signing. So we'll do all of that today. If you haven't told or you haven't figured it out yet, I am back in Milwaukee. So we will be doing this from the snow. We are doing this from the Snowtap WI offices, which I'm happy to be doing. As much as I enjoyed my time in Indy, I like the mic. I like being just at home. I got home yesterday and I fell right the fuck to sleep. So obviously driving took a lot out of your boy. So anyways, let's just dive in. So I found an interesting article from Jesse Temple. He does a great job for The Athletic writing about the Badger basketball and Badger football team. Jesse wrote about Ethan Happ being one of the best Badgers of all time. And the article itself is interesting. There are a few quotes in there that I had to roll my eyes at, which I'll talk about a little bit. But I don't know, as an outsider, I do not consider Ethan Happ's legacy to be legendary. And I don't know why. I try to investigate, go into my own brain a little bit and say, why don't I appreciate Ethan Happ? And Temple does kind of talk about that and talk about the lack of appreciation at times that people have had for Ethan Happ. I think there are a variety of reasons. Number one, I think it's the fact that they had a losing season during Happ's run. I know that he was very good that year. He won. He was all Big Ten. He took home that honor in the junior year. He was the only guy on that team. But that still is a weird moment in time, right? It's a weird sort of little bit of a bump in the radar. It never happened to some of the great Badgers that we talk about. Now, Michael Finley, looking, if you go all the way back, and Michael Finley being kind of the first great Badger basketball player, you know, I don't believe Wisconsin was a tournament team throughout his career, but the way we perceived Wisconsin basketball during Finley's time was far different than what we did when Happ had the down year as a team. And you almost wonder if Happ was a better three-point shooter, if he could do a little more, would they have been that bad? They might have been. And who knows? Maybe that's more on Greg Gard than it is on Ethan Happ, probably. But that I think plays a factor in sort of the way you view Happ. It's hard, I think, for fans to look at what he's done and be like, well, we sucked one of your years. We were not good. We were not a good basketball team. And that, I think, plays a role in this. Number two has to be the fact that he can't shoot from outside 8 feet. He never developed a mid-range game. And I know that is like, he's so good around the basket. I've compared him before to Tyler Hansborough. And I do stand by that. I think he has a Tyler Hansborough-like ability, but with the way that basketball has trended throughout the years for Hep not to develop sort of a mid-range game or an outside shot is kind of ridiculous. Like, I realize I'm sure he's practiced it, I'm sure he's done it, but we've seen guys throughout the years sort of hone their game and develop their game and do more than just the thing they're good at. You know, Marcus Howard is an amazing three-point shooter, but Howard, I would say, has got better defensively. He's still not great, but he's gotten better defensively. He has sort of a floater game now. I would like it if he took it more to the basket, but that's another story for another time. But basically what I'm saying is, like, he's doing a little bit more. If Hap was, you know, if he was a 33% three-point shooter, right? Not great, but still would make one every three and would attempt maybe four a game. Kind of what, like, Giannis does. Giannis is a little better these days. But if he would do that, I think you have a better case for him to be Big Ten Player of the Year. But because he's only a post player, he's a natural post player, you don't necessarily have it's just hard for me to look at him and say, all right, he is a well-rounded player. He's a great inside presence, and he's really good at what he does. But, you know, Joe Krabenhoff in that article, who's now the assistant coach for the Badgers, former Badger player, compared him to Michael Jordan, which, I'm sorry. I get it. I get what you're trying to do here. But, like, fuck, man. Like, you can't go to Jordan level. He's like, well, Jordan was a 23% three-point shooter. Well, first of all, three-point shooting was a different fucking time in when Jordan was playing, number one. People didn't give a fuck about three-point shooting. Number two, he's not fucking Jordan. Like, he shouldn't be considered in that realm. You just shouldn't. Like, that's not what you should do with Ethan Happ. That is not a part of this. And so, I can't get down with that comment. That to me is ridiculous. I feel like Krabenhoff could have found a better example there. Number three, and sort of the one that some people have said now is overblown, and I think it's overblown only because it bothers Badger fans, and Badger fans don't want to talk about it, which I get. I wouldn't want to talk about it either, is his free throw shooting. He sucks. He's been a terrible free throw shooter, and this year alone has probably cost Wisconsin two or three wins. I mean, if Hap was a better free throw shooter, there are probably two or three close losses you could point out to and say they win that game. If Ethan Happ's a 60% shooter, and I've said that before, I think in like blog posts, maybe on a podcast. I know I said it on Tapping the Keg this week. You go back and listen. And I was like, if Happ's a 60% shooter in the tournament and the rest of the way, they're a much better team. That's the difference of one free throw. If you're five, it's the difference of two free throws if you're shooting 10. I mean, and that matters. I mean, that's such a small attention to detail, but Hap's usage rate and Hap's amount that he gets to the line is so high compared to others on the team that those free throws can matter in the between a win and a loss for Wisconsin. So Hap's been directly involved with some of those, and I really think that the free throw thing matters, even if it's a topic that bothers Badger fans and it's something they don't want to talk about. I get it. Free throws are frustrating. When your guy doesn't make free throws, that is a frustrating thing. When your team doesn't make it, it drives you crazy. But you have to consider that when you're looking at greatest Badgers of all time. Sure, the volume numbers are off the charts, and you could have added that, you know, because of how bad they were in the third year, that almost allowed Hap to pad his stats a little bit compared to some of the other Badger teams where they were well-rounded and they had second and third bananas. And if it wasn't this guy, if it wasn't the Stars night, a role player could step up and have 15 or 20 points. And then that would lead to that. So there's all of that. And look, it's not like I'm shitting on Ethan Happ. I'm really not. I know that maybe some of this sounds like it. It's more I'm being critical because I think that he's not as good as people want him to be. I get it. I appreciate what Happ has done for the Badgers. But for Brad Davidson, and Brad, you know, is a consummate heel, saying that Hap is not only on the Mount Rushmore of Wisconsin players, he's on the Mount Rushmore of Big Ten players. And to that, if I had drops, if I was talented enough, I'd add the Shannon Sharp. Whoa, 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 whoa! Like, no way, man. Get the fuck out of my face with the Big Ten. Like, not a chance. I get you're riding for your boy. I get it. Like, that's like me pumping up one of my friends at, like, talking to a girl. I'm like, yeah, this guy, like, great, like, volunteers, like, gets out in the community. He's, like, this great guy. Like, basically, like, you're sucking his dick with words. I mean, that's what Brad Davidson is doing right there. And the fact of the matter is, like, you got sucking your dick with words. Funny comment. But anyways, so, but, like, he's not that good. Like, come on. Like, Mateen Cleaves, Glenn Robinson, Frank Kaminsky. I mean, come on. Like, those are just a few names. D. Brown. I mean, come on. There are names all over the Big Ten that I could pick out where you're like, come on. That's just ridiculous. That's just a ridiculous comment. As for the Badgers Mount Rushmore, I mean, this is a great radio topic. I hope local radio does this if they haven't already. But, like, Hap, to me, is not on the Mount Rushmore, I would say, for a variety of reasons. And again, I'm an outsider, so I'd love to hear from my Badger friends. Make sure you respond to this, NoTapWI, Twitter or Facebook or Instagram. I would go Michael Finley, Lando Tucker, Frank Kaminsky, Devin Harris. And Lando Tucker, I think, is the guy who sort of springboards the start of that, the Badger. You could say Mike Wilkinson, I guess, would maybe be that too. But Lando Tucker had a phenomenal career with the Badgers. Frank Kaminsky won National Player of the Year. He was part of a team that went to two Final Fours, one national championship game. I don't think you're touching Frank Kaminsky in that. I think Michael Finley is the, you know, he was a top 10 pick. He was a great Badger during his time. Granted, they weren't successful, but he's sort of the start of all things Badger basketball. And then Devin Harris, you know, one Big Ten Player of the Year, was a top 10 draft pick. He was a great Badger in his own right. So I think Hap is on that fringe. I think Hap is, you know, fifth or sixth. I don't think he makes that top four. Now, if the Badgers were to, say, go on a run here in the NCAA tournament, if the Badgers were to get Elite Eight, I would say Final Four. If it's Final Four and Hap, say, is the regional player of that region, say, like, they are in the South and he's the South regional player of the tournament, I think you have to reconsider this, and we'd have another topic, you know, in late April, early March about, you know, where Hap stands. But right now, I can't put him in my Mount Rushmore. Maybe you can. Like I said, feel free to chime in, StoneTapWI, on the Twitters or Facebooks. Moving on to Marquette. So Marquette has a bit of a revenge tour beginning tonight. So they face St. John's at St. John's home gym at Madison Square Garden, the Garden. Marquette has not been good in the Big East tournament. This has not been a comfortable place for Marquette. They haven't done well in the Garden in the past, whether it is the three-point lines, whether it's the fact that they light up the court and dark the crowd, whether it is just the opponent. Marquette has seemingly struggled in the Big East tournament. They don't believe have made the semifinals in quite a long time. I should have had that ready for you, but I believe it's been a while. So Marquette has that opportunity. They did not play in their first game. They've won a first game, like an opening game, before, but the quarterfinals is usually where it ends. Marquette hasn't had a bye in a long time. So they got a day of rest. They now face a St. John's team who will play less than 24 hours, you know, since their last game. So fatigue will be a factor for a St. John's team that isn't very deep. So there's going to be a lot there. Now, Marquette has lost, you know, twice to St. John's. St. John's has been a consummate thorn in their side. Now, they They beat DePaul pretty good last night, 82-74. The game was in St. John's hands. They had a 15-point lead in the, you know, with about seven minutes to go, give or take. But, and St. John's did try to get their bench in the game. But, like, let's take a look at this. All of St. John's player, all of St. John's starters besides Marvin Clark II played more than 33 minutes. So that is a lot, especially in a game where they sort of handed it to DePaul. And you'd think that they would get a lot of rest, but they really didn't. I mean, Shamori Pons played 36 minutes. Mustafa Heron played 38. Same with Simon, who played 38, who was an issue for Marquette. Like, Justin Simon, excuse me. I wanted to go first and last there. But, like, so, Mark, like, they all played well, but, like, you have to wonder a little bit at how fatigue is going to factor in. And it's extremely important for Marquette to come out and hit them in the mouth. Because I think if they come out hot, I don't know if St. John's will be able to respond. Just given the fatigue, you may have Chris Mullin even wave a white flag and say, all right, well, we did our best. Now, the Johnnies are not, I think, safe in the tournament. I think that they're in right now, but a win against Marquette probably punches their ticket. So they know that. And their fans, I mean, it's going to be a pro-St. John's crowd. But Marquette should be hungry. You lose four straight games. You need to get everything right. If you win tonight and then you get Seton Hall or Georgetown, who you've both beat this year, and then you get them again, and you're able to beat them, all of a sudden, this four-game losing streak isn't a thing. And your final game, whether it's against Villanova or somebody else, is really house money. It doesn't matter as much. You win two and you're starting to feel kind of good. Win one, and I think there is still a little tinge of, well, you've lost five of your last six. Yeah, St. John's win was nice, but you know, you still didn't take care of business against, you know, whether it's Seton Hall or Georgetown, who I think again are both beatable teams for Marquette. So Marquette should look at this, and I said this, you know, before the Georgetown game, I said, look, play without any sort of, you know, just play basketball. Don't fucking worry about turnovers. Don't worry about anything like that. But they have to bring their defense. Their defense was bad against Georgetown, and they need to stop the ball handler. They need to take charges. They need to be pests. They cannot rely on Theo John blocking shots or Ed Morrow blocking shots. They have to play one of their best games that they've played all year. And I said this in a blog post today with talking about Marcus Howard winning Big East Player of the Year, which congrats to him. You can read that at snowtapwi.com. It's a website. But I said, like, Marcus Howard's the type of player that can electrify March. We can go crazy today. If Marcus Howard drops like 40 in the Garden, he's going to be a headline tomorrow. That's going to be a top story across the wire on ESPN, on national, you know, on college basketball Twitter, on just overall. People will get on board. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. Definitely we'll mention it on the watch list if Marquette were to lose. Obviously, if Marquette's playing Friday night, they'll make the watch list, and then we'll talk a little more about the game. But yeah, it's gonna be an interesting one. Obviously, with the struggles against St. John's, you'd like to see DePaul, but I mean, you can never expect DePaul to do anything in your favor. All right, wrapping up the show, talking a little bit about Packer free agency reaction. So I found a few interesting. Pete Doherty said that the Packers are in win now mode. I don't necessarily agree with that. I think that the Packers knew that they had talent issues and knew that the draft wasn't going to fix them, that they weren't going to go with the Ted Thompson philosophy of sort of, you know, getting everybody back, like, you know, bringing in a bunch of young guys and undrafted free agents and hoping for the best. The Packers knew that there was a talent gap. It wasn't about win now. It's about, they're the Green Bay Packers. You're not going to have a third straight losing season with Aaron Rodgers. And you need to sort of shorten the gap with the Bears and the Vikings. I think with what they've done already in free agency, what they still could do, plus
the draft, they are right back in the mix. And I mean, they have higher odds right now than the Bears for the Super Bowl, to win the Super Bowl, which I think is a little crazy, but not entirely. You know, I think that the Bears haven't done much. They lost Vic Fangio. They do not have Mitch Trubisky. You know, what is Mitch Trubisky next year now that there's a full year of tape on him? I don't think that's at all ridiculous. And you know, Robert Mays kind of called it a sea change, sort of said this is the new generation of the Packers, which is a lot of stuff that we said yesterday. Go back and listen to that on Daily Tap. Mays, you know, gave a lot of kudos to Adrian Amos being a top signing, sort of as a steal. And that's good. I love the idea. You know, he's obviously a Bears fan. If you don't know Robert Mays from The Ringer, that's sort of what says. And, you know, I do think that Mays, you know, hits it on the head. He did mention sort of the misstep of, you know, the Billy Turner signing. And the more I've thought about Billy Turner, and I've talked with our boy Nolan, who I don't know if I'd call Nolan an NFL insider, but I definitely think that there are, you know, there are some things where maybe we're kind of agreeing that Turner isn't necessarily maybe the player that I think we would want out of the mix. And so, you know, Bill Barnwell was a lot more critical. He gave Za'Darius Smith a D+, basically saying there's a lot unproven there, you know, and people are, but I mean, the year for Za'Darius was there, and Amos got a B-. So Barnwell was a lot more critical of the Packers than anybody else. He is not sort of on the Packer bandwagon, which is fine. Look, everybody's going to have a different opinion. I myself loved it. I know that there are things to worry about with all of these guys. Signing free agents is never going to be this fail-safe. Like, it's an A-plus signing. The Packers did what they could. They had money to spend, and this is the way they're using it. And I think it's funny that people will be so critical of the Packers, yet they were the same people ragging on them for not making moves. I don't know. It's hard. It's a thankless job to be the GM of the Green Bay Packers. So that's where I'll leave it. I hope the Packers make some smaller moves. Already bringing back Geronimo Allison and Mercedes Lewis, I think, is really good. Wrote about that too today. You can go read that. But that does it for the Daily Tap for Thursday. Back tomorrow to do weekend watch list. I will say there is a 90-ish% chance I'll try to do a Daily Tap on Saturday, and it's kind of going to just be, if Marquette and Wisconsin keep winning, I'll probably keep doing podcasts. If they were to both lose, maybe then less of a Daily Tap on Saturday. I do want to do like a sort of selection set Sunday preview for Marquette and Wisconsin when the dust is settled. So we'll see if I am able to do that. Also, Bucks Sixers this weekend. Very excited for that. All right. We'll be back tomorrow for the weekend watch list. Beers are always on me. We'll talk tomorrow. See you. Bye.